Pensacola's first choice for morning news, traffic, sports, and talk. The Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay. News Radio 92.3 AM 1620. Good morning, Pensacola.
States surpassed 30 million cases of COVID-19. CDC's most recent data show that the seven-day average of new cases is slightly less than 60,000 cases per day. This is a 10% increase compared to the prior seven-day period. Hospitalizations have also increased. The most recent seven-day average, about 4,800 admissions per day, is up from 4,600 admissions per day in the prior seven-day period. And deaths, which typically lag behind cases and hospitalizations, have now started to rise, increasing nearly 3% to a seven-day average of approximately 1,000 deaths per day.
So Rochelle Walensky, who is the CDC director, Dr. Walensky, yesterday talking during the White House Coronavirus Task Force briefing about where we're at in the numbers, which she always does. Okay, she always does. And their presentation of numbers is good, accurate, statistical. There's not a question with that. I am seeing what they're seeing at the national level. I'm not seeing the same thing locally, although Florida as a state does have a couple of recent concerning upticks. Locally, we're in much better shape. But her job is not to be concerned about Santa Rosa and Escambia County. Her job is to be concerned about the whole country. And she is concerned, very concerned about the whole country.
I'm going to pause here. I'm going to lose the script, and I'm going to reflect on the recurring feeling I have of impending doom. We have so much to look forward to, so much promise and potential of where we are, and so much reason for hope. But right now, I'm scared.
Right now, I'm scared.
You will listen. I'm going to pause here. We have so much to.
So she says, I'm scared. There's impending doom. She wants us to listen and pay attention to what she's saying. And again, she's a doctor. Okay. She's not some outside just, you know, expert or somebody who is looking. She's a, you know, in the hospital looking at the patients, seeing the problems, firsthand experience, right?
I know what it's like as a physician to stand in that patient room, gowned, gloved, masked, shielded, and to be the last person to touch someone else's loved one because their loved one couldn't be there. I know what it's like when you're the physician, when you're the healthcare provider, and you're worried that you don't have the resources to take care of the patients in front of you. I know that feeling of nausea when you read the crisis standards of care and you wonder whether there are going to be enough ventilators to go around and who's going to make that choice. And I know what it's like to pull up to your hospital every day and see the extra morgue sitting outside.
So pretty emotional, right? I mean, she didn't quite break down in tears, but you could, it was pretty close yesterday watching her talk about this. And the reason is because she sees us sort of, again, judging by the statistics and the way the curves are moving, she sees us on a path that we need to not be on.
The trajectory of the pandemic in the United States looks similar to many other countries in Europe, including Germany, Italy, and France, looked like just a few weeks ago. And since that time, those countries have experienced a consistent and worrying spike in cases. We are not powerless. We can change this trajectory of the pandemic, but it will take all of us recommitting to following the public health prevention strategies consistently while we work to get the American public vaccinated.
Yeah, there's definitely this problem where when things head in the right direction for long enough time, the very American response is, good, it's over. Let's party. It's not over. This is why, you know, Davis, back me up on this. How many times have you heard me say something like this in the last 3 months since Christmas? The numbers are moving in the right direction, but objectively, they're not good yet. Is that, how many times have I said that?
You seem to say it regularly.
Every day, just about every day. And it's true. Even now, when the numbers are very low compared to what they have been for quite a long time in Escambia and Santa Rosa County, they're still not good. Even when our density is 100 or 150, which is about where it is here locally out of 100,000, okay? 1 to 1.5 persons per 1,000 have the disease right now, are infected right now. That's really low compared to what it has been, and really low even compared to the nation or even the state. The state's more like 250, okay? We're doing very well. How did we get here? That's the point. How did we get here? Keep doing that. Until everybody's vaccinated or until as many people are going to get vaccinated or vaccinated. I mean, give that a month at least. Okay, give it a month. Next week, next Monday, we're going to be down to 18 and up. And then 6 weeks after that, basically. Because when it's 18 and up, and give that a week or two, okay? And then so people can get vaccinated and all the people who want to can get it. And then give it a second shot. If, unless you get Johnson & Johnson, okay? Give it 2 weeks after that. 6 weeks after your first shot is when your high 90-95% immunity rate kicks in. Then things will dramatically change. Because I can tell you for sure things have dramatically changed among our seniors in long-term care. Those numbers are definitive. The vaccine works. The vaccines work. And it works even for people that have worse immune systems than those of us who are under 65. So it's going to work even more for the rest of us. We're like, we're right there. Almost. Don't stop. So Joe Biden gets up yesterday and he says, if you took a mask mandate off, put the mask mandate back on. No, because that's not been shown to do anything. Okay, the state of Florida has had our results without a mask mandate. California hasn't had better results with a mask mandate. If you look around the country and you compare mandates, there's no evidence they work. The things themselves work. The masks themselves work. The mandate doesn't work. How can that be, Andrew? I'm just telling you, the thing itself is effective. The requirement to wear it is not effective. Human nature, America. That's what I can tell you. There's a wide variety of reasons. So keep your distance. Wash your hands. Stay home if you're sick. Okay? And yes, wear a face covering to keep other people from being sick and to keep you from getting sick from other people. 616 here on News Radio 92. And get vaccinated, please. 616 on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620. Davis Allen has traffic for you.
Managed to make my appointment yesterday, so I'm very excited.
Outstanding.
Tuesday's my day. All right, taking a look at the front gate of NAS Pensacola. We are still seeing delays backed up to Interbay Avenue. Nothing that's going to take too long, probably 5 to 10 minutes. Now, over on I-10 and I-110, I'm not seeing any delays. That's also the case for Avalon Boulevard and Garzon Point Bridge and Gulf Breeze Parkway, Navarre Parkway. They are flowing smoothly. And this report is brought to you by Central Credit Union. Learn something and earn gift cards by downloading the Zogo Finance app today. Sponsored by Central Credit Union of Florida. Find out more at ccufl.org. I'm Davis Allen with your traffic on the fives.
You know, right now is that time for your lawn. You know, every year you always say to yourself, right? And maybe you have a great lawn. And if that's true, that's fine. Be happy. Pay attention. Don't pay attention to me for a minute. For the rest of you, if you look at your lawn in July and you're like, oh man, not again. Okay. The time to not have the oh man, not again feeling in July is now. Now is when you need to start pre-treating. Now is when you need to start thinking about, you know, I mean, the crabgrass, like, you know, we're almost kind of past that air, but that, treating that before and then also fertilizing the regular grass before, like, that's the idea. You got to do it before it happens, and then the results manifest for the next few months. So here's the thing. With NSEC, if you sign up today, get your free lawn get your first lawn application for free with any new annual lawn program that includes the initial soil sample and the lime treatment on an average size lawn. So again, it's a matter of timing, scheduling, thinking about how your lawn functions throughout the year and getting it at exactly the right time. NSEC's lawn program timed and programmed to get your lawn what it needs, when it needs it, and here's the thing, guaranteed. Guaranteed. You'll get the results you want, guaranteed. Find out more about NSEC at ensec.net.
Some nights I stay up, cashing in my bad luck. Some nights I call it a draw. Some nights I wish that my lips could build a castle. Some nights I wish they'd just fall off. But I still wake up.
Good morning, 622, News Radio 92.3 AM 1620. I'm Andrew McKay. It's a Pensacola Morning News. Ballot initiatives might get harder. This is something that I have advocated for. I believe in this. I do not like constitutional amendments. I don't like them for two reasons. Number one, they're very hard to undo. And I very much agree with the legislators who say, look, when we pass a law, it goes through all these committees. It goes through two houses, right? The House and the Senate. And then the governor can veto it. There's a big process. And that means that most legislation dies. You know, Tallahassee is a place where good ideas go to die. I mean, or bad ideas, too. And the whole point is that you go through this whole process and then you get better results. You get more crafted, tailored. There's an analysis to look into the consequences. The problem with propositions is you don't have all that benefit. You read it at home. It looks, okay, that looks like a good idea. Let's do it. And the unintended consequences are often rampant. That's number one, okay? It's not that individual citizens are incompetent to do it. It's that they're less competent, generally speaking, to be legislators than to have representatives do the legislating, which is why I believe in representative government. The second reason is they're used for reasons aside from the proposition. They're used to manipulate the electorate to get you motivated to vote when you wouldn't otherwise vote. Like propositions, the one of the primary ways propositions are used is to get you worked up to go vote in the first place, as opposed to trying to do the thing. They're trying to hit hot button issues for you to motivate you to go vote for other reasons. That's a problem too. So I'm in favor of raising these levels. And it looks like we might actually get rid of the Constitutional Revision Commission. That's one. And it looks like we're going to raise the threshold for passage. It had been 51%, then it raised to 60, and they're wanting to raise it to 2/3. I fully agree. It ought to be 2/3 to put something permanently. It ought to be 2/3 to put in, or even 3/4 to put in, and a majority to remove. That's what I would favor. Make it easy to get rid of, hard to put in. Mark Jacobs in the, like a tax raise. Mark Jacobs in the newsroom with our headlines. Mark?
More Americans rolling up their sleeves for a COVID shot. Still lots of concern about where we stand in terms of the pandemic, though.
Even with the U.S. giving 3 million shots a day and shipping 30 million doses this week, the virus is spreading. New cases are up 10% in the last week. More people are going to the hospital. More are dying.
That's NBC's Tracy Potts, the CDC director, saying she's alarmed about rising cases and warning about the threat of impending doom. Day two of the murder trial for former Minneapolis cop Derek Chauvin begins later this morning. Prosecutors spent day one showing video of him holding George Floyd down for 9.5 minutes. A witness to Floyd's arrest back on the stand this morning. Ships again traveling through one of the world's most important shipping routes. Could be 3 days before all the congestion is eased up. More than 400 ships were blocked for a week when that big container ship got stuck in the Suez Canal. It finally got freed yesterday.
All right. Yeah. So I guess I was right. I said yesterday or today? I said, and Davis, you had more pessimism. You didn't trust the engineers. Not happening. No. With future news, we always make up our answers. We never know. We're just doing our best to figure out the universe. Davis, did you see what happened to Captain Underpants?
No. Don't tell me they're putting pants on him.
We'll tell you in a minute. 6:25, time for Traffic on the Fives with Davis Allen.
You're going to be ruining my childhood, Andrew. I've read every book. This can't happen. But anyways, all right, taking a look at the front gate of NAS Pensacola, we do have some delays. Backed up to the Shell station, and it appears that it's starting to lighten up a little bit, so could take a little bit quicker. Could be a little bit quicker as you're trying to get to the main gate. Still no delays on Avalon and Garzon, so good starts so far to our morning. And Gulf Breeze Parkway, Navarre Parkway, Highway 87, all these areas checking in clear. I'm Davis Allen with your Traffic on the Fives.
Okay, you got to get over to New Orleans, but you don't really want to go commercial. Or not just New Orleans, but like somewhere outside, like, you know, in the middle of Louisiana somewhere, or the middle of Mississippi somewhere, or the middle of Alabama or Georgia. Like, instead of a big airport, you got to go to someplace small. Well, how do you do that normally? A commercial, you know, plane, and then you rent a car, and then you drive. Okay, a lot of these places will have general aviation airports that are right there. And if you fly with Southeast Air Shuttle, you can fly straight from here to there. And Captain Eric can arrange to have you a car, like, on the tarmac. So you basically get out of the plane and into the car. I mean, 10 feet, you know, get in the car, no problem. Then you drive to your place, come back to the plane. He'll pick you up. And if you got to go to a second or a third location in the same day because of business, he can do that. See, I want you to start thinking about having a plane the way you think about having a car. It's yours. You can use it when you need to, and you can go here to there in the most convenient way possible. That's what Southeast Air Shuttle does. Provides you the freedom of being able to go where you need to go as if you own the plane. You can fly when you want, not when you're told, because Southeast Air Shuttle is your no-line airline. Find out more about what Captain Eric can do to help you at flysoutheast.com. Davis, I got to be honest with you. Captain Underpants is not something I'm super familiar with, but you said this was your whole childhood growing up on Captain Underpants.
Read every book.
Okay. So you know well Captain Underpants, and now it looks like you've got, it's a pair of friends who travel from way ancient past to like the future, going back and forth, meeting all kinds of people, right? Is that kind of roughly the idea? And like the principal's a secret?
The principal like is like really mean, but then they like hypnotize him and now he's this Captain Underpants, which the kids had created.
Got it. Captain Underpants is getting canceled. Cancel culture has come for Captain Underpants. Not because of the underpants. Oh, it's fine to have a principal in underpants. No big deal. That's okay.
Yeah, grown man around children in
no,
his underwear.
No, it's fine. No issue there. No, you know what the problem is? Is that they meet a martial arts instructor who teaches them kung fu, and they learn principles found in Chinese philosophy. And it's stereotypical reinforcing of who Asians are and what their culture says. No, seriously. I'm not making this up. That's the problem. Now, a spinoff that had been developed is getting canceled, is not going to be done. And by the way, the author in a YouTube statement is advancing all of, giving away all of his advance and royalties, and he's sorry, and I want you to forgive me. And how dare they?
Well, doesn't that mean that Karate Kid will be canceled eventually?
Yeah, well, of course it will. I mean, how dare they have somebody who's Asian who promotes martial arts and Eastern philosophy? Like, that's never happens, ever. Must cancel now.
Supporting doing any vaccine passports in the state of Florida. No one was more aggressive about getting this out. If you look at all the different points throughout Florida, whether it's a hospital, county health department, a retail pharmacy, a drive-through sites, church sites, all this stuff, it's important. But we always said we want to provide it for all, but mandate it for none.
Good. This is what I keep telling you is, you know, it's there can be the right thing to do becomes the wrong thing when you force people to do it. There are so many things in the world that are great when they're done voluntarily. Charity is a great example of this. Charity, one of the most noble things you can do. Give your money to help other people in need, right? When the government turns around and forces you at the threat of a gun or at the threat of jail time or taking away other things that you believe and hold dear and want to hold on to, and they say, you got to give up your money to go help people who need it, it's no longer virtuous. It's just theft. Theft for a noble cause is still theft, right? So things that are good to do can become very bad when they are mandatory. I'm not saying that masks are the same as that or that even vaccines are the same as that, but that's the problem, is you change the nature of the thing when you force people to do it. And so Governor DeSantis yesterday spent a lot of time in his press conference talking about how it's not right to put a requirement for an emergency use authorization vaccine onto people's participation in civil society, even if the thing itself is a good thing to do that we want people to do.
The flip side of that, though, with these vaccine passports is it's completely unacceptable for either the government or the private sector to impose upon you the requirement that you show proof of vaccine to just simply be able to participate in normal society. You want to go to a movie theater? Should you have to show that? No. You want to go to a game? No. You want to go to a theme park? No.
I'm so glad. God, I still, every day, almost every day, when I get up and look at the news and think about what's going on in our state, I just thank God he won. Thank God it's not Andrew Gillum making these decisions.
We're not supportive of that. I think it's something that people have certain freedoms and individual liberties to make decisions for themselves. I also wonder, it's like, okay, you're going to do this, and then what, give all this information to some big corporation? You want the fox to guard the hen house? I mean, give me a break. I think this is something that has huge privacy implications. It is not necessary to do.
Freedom of association, freedom of speech, right? Can you be opposed to the vaccine? Can you act on that opposition? Well, you know, what about kids in school? Well, it's not the same. Okay, getting kids vaccinated to prevent things that kill kids is one thing. But also, you're talking about you have options to putting them in school. Also, when you're talking about a mass of people all together in one place with highly communicable diseases that are harmful to those kids, then it can be a different thing. And look, let me put it this way. If this disease were different than it is, I can imagine circumstances under which mandatory vaccination would make sense. I can. But given the state of the science on the vaccine, as good as it is, that it's only an emergency use authorization at this point, and what the disease actually is, no, this doesn't make any sense right now.
I understand if you do a vaccine passport to say, yeah, you know, if you want to go to a movie theater or you want to get on a plane or you want to do that, that is a bridge further than we have ever gone in this country, without question. And it's a little bit different saying that versus saying, you know, hey, with a measles or somebody in a school setting, which is obviously, you know, could be very problematic.
And by the way, so he's putting out an EO and an executive order, and then he's hoping for legislation as well, not just for no public, like governmental based vaccine passports, but also against private companies making this a requirement, a mandate, before you can participate in what they're doing.
We're not going to do it. This would be an unprecedented expansion, I think, of using this both with public or with private power. And that's why I think that businesses should not be allowed to be doing this either, because I think it just puts us down a slippery slope. And I think it'll end up being in a situation that we'll live to regret in the future.
So do you agree? 437-1620. Feel free to disagree with the governor or me. You know, that's always allowed. 437-1620. Should we have vaccine passports in general for travel, for air travel, for cruises, for going to a sporting event? 437-1620. I say no. He says no. Even though, again, we all clearly want you to get vaccinated. You know, I have gotten my first shot, in case you're new to the show. Here's the other thing. This is very concerning to me. I was watching the coronavirus task force yesterday in the White House, and this is a weird situation where the White House has it right, but I want you to see where the mindset of the journalists who are covering the White House, where they're at. First of all, this is Ed O'Keefe from CBS.
First question will go to Ed O'Keefe at CBS.
I was curious if you guys can discuss what is the government or the administration's current role in issuing these so-called passports or certificates, and why is it taking a little while longer for the U.S. to do that when places like Japan and China and the EU are further along?
Oh my God. Do you get the premise of his question? Other places are ahead of us. They're more advanced than us. We're behind. Why aren't we doing this? And to his credit, Andy Slavitt.
The government here is not viewing its role as the place to create a passport, nor a place to hold the data of citizens. We view this as something that the private sector is doing and will do.
So he's saying no, not the government, at least not yet, which is good news from a government that we kind of thought would be more intrusive into your life. And then Zeke Miller from the AP. Look, Ed O'Keefe and Zeke Miller are good journalists, but their basic bias here is massive state intervention.
Actually, we'll go to Zeke Miller at the AP.
Can you speak to specifically why you don't think the federal government is the right place to have set up a vaccination passport? I mean, the data privacy concerns and widespread adoption and equity concerns that you just raised, Andy, wouldn't the federal government be best positioned to respond to those?
Again, the premise of the question is the federal government. Now, if there's a way to ask this question and say, you know, there are some who say, or there's, you know, here's this argument, how would you respond? That's very different from, don't you get it? Don't you get it?
You know, relative to the vaccine passport, we think it's very important for the public. Job one is for the public to become comfortable if they're considering taking a vaccine, why that is in their best interests. And we think all of the data and all of the results and all the impact in the slide that Dr. Fauci showed are the preponderance of the reason we're just so fortunate to be in this position relative to these vaccines. We do know that there is a segment of the population that is concerned that the government will play too heavy-handed of a role in monitoring their vaccinations, and that mandates will be coming from the federal government. And in point of fact, it would discourage people to feel like that was the role we were playing.
So their view isn't philosophical. Their view is psychological. They believe that if you start mandating it, that the people who are already on the fence a bit about the vaccine would not want to get it. They say that this is just going to be more evidence for the conspiracy theorists. And so that's why they're against it, which I think is a fair concern. 437-1620, a couple of texts in here. Let's see. I think this person might have typed it wrong, but I'm going to read what they have. We don't make parents vaccinate their children with vaccines that are proven effective. I think they mean this one's not as effective, or also they might have meant to say that are proven ineffective. But either way, there's a distinction here between what we know about, say, measles, mumps, rubella, and what we know about this disease. Somebody else says, of course, we all have freedom to make decisions for ourselves, but requiring someone to be vaccinated if they want to attend an event is completely legal and logical. It's like driving a car. It's not an inherent right. It's a privilege, and you have to qualify for it and buy insurance and maintain your vehicle to a certain level, or you can simply not drive a car. It's your choice. And it is true that we have some public health requirements, like, you know, shirt, shoes, that kind of stuff. At the same time, given the it's still an emergency use, but it's not quite like driving a car. Freedom to associate is not the same as buying a car, but I get where you're coming from. Somebody says, I'm on the fence with the mandate. Public safety is first and foremost. That reasoning, and compare it to school vaccination cards from children. It's for safety and the public around them at school. But then again, I feel that it's overreaching at times. Let's see. Somebody else here says, no, thank you. Having served in the military and being a taxpayer, the federal government has already enough information on me. I don't want them saving or tracking anyone. And I also I was talking to somebody the other day who said, yeah, I remember the anthrax vaccine. No thanks on government mandates. 647 here on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Davis Allen, it's traffic on the fives.
Well, let's start at Garson Point Bridge, because going southbound appears to be a little slow moving as you're approaching Gulf Breeze. And then same with going northbound, starting to look a little slow moving, but once you go across the hump, it should check in clear the rest of the way towards I-10, because Avalon is flowing smoothly completely. But going back to Gulf Breeze Parkway, eastbound appears to be backed up around the Center for Sight area as you're trying to get to Garson Point Bridge. I-10, I-110 are checking in clear, same with 9 Mile Road and Highway 29. Mobile Highway and Pine Forest Road also checking in clear, and no delays at either gate of NAS Pensacola. And this report is brought to you by Panera Bread. Flatbread pizzas have hit the menu at Panera, and whether you get the pepperoni, margarita, or chipotle, chicken, and bacon, you'll be getting cheesy, saucy goodness. Panera's new flatbread pizzas, restrictions apply. I'm Davis Allen with your traffic on the fives.
Just a couple of more texts to finish up this topic of the vaccine. Somebody here says, on mandatory vaccines, I had COVID and still have active antibodies. Why would I need to be vaccinated? Which is, by the way, one of the other arguments is people might have legitimate reasons not to get vaccinated for a variety of reasons, right? Somebody else says they can't make black people produce a picture ID because it's racist, but we need a vaccine to see a ball game. Give me a break. So you can see a lot of people have their strong opinions on both sides on this, which is always good to see. 649 on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. You know, when you got into business to provide the service or the good or the product or whatever it is that you do. You thought, I can serve a need, I can make a profit, I can do something I'm good at and enjoy it. And then you realize that business comes with red tape. And even when it's like good red tape, in the sense that you want to help your employees have good benefits and you want to take care of payroll and all that, it's still red tape. It's still a pain. It's still stuff you don't love doing and have to spend time doing because you're the boss and the boss has to make these decisions. Here's what you do. You give Torgerson Causey a call because they love that stuff. Like, their business is to help you free up your brain space so that you can go do the reason you got into business, instead of having to worry about which dental plan is the best for your employees or which life and disability plan is the best for your employees. They can help you with that. And then they can actually give your employees options, which is what we have at News Radio. Ever since we started using them, we just have options, which I love. You know, give me the power to make choices for myself. So they've been doing this for 20 years, helping people just like you run your business, locally owned and operated. Give them a call today for a no obligation review of your programs. 433-9996, or check them out online at tcbenefitsgroup.com for Torgerson Causey.
My heart only runs on supreme.
national average for a gallon of gas, 286. Florida, same. Menlo Park, California, 519. Wichita Falls, $1.99. And Navarre, 278 east at the Walmart, 275 west at the Walmart in Gulf Breeze this morning. It's, let's see, 276. I think that's right. 276 at the foot of the Garcon Point Bridge. My map's a little slow to resolve. In Milton, 286 at the raceway before Avalon, 289 down Avalon, 285 at the Walmart in Pea Ridge, 287 in Pace. Coming over into Pensacola, it looks like your best price is 269, I think. That's the raceway on North Davis. Like I said, my map's being a little bit slow. 256 at the Murphy in front of the Walmart on US 29. 270 this morning at the Navy Exchange, 279 at the TNC on Pace. Mark Jacobs is in the newsroom this morning with our headlines. Mark?
President Biden warning there could be another wave of coronavirus, calling it deadly serious and saying the best way to prevent it is masks. Some states have ended their mandates. He's pleading with governors to reinstate them. Jurors who will decide whether a former Minneapolis police officer is guilty of killing George Floyd. Here's more testimony today in the trial of Derek Chauvin. NBC's Gabe Gutierrez on what happened on day one.
Day one of testimony brought several dramatic moments, including opening statements where the prosecution played the entirety of that cell phone video showing Chauvin kneeling on George Floyd's neck.
And that video ran nearly a minute longer than the time that's been previously reported since Floyd's death last May.
I thought the one comment was from the 911 dispatcher who said she thought she was looking at it,
she
and at first she thought the screen had
up.
Frozen because it was so long that he was sitting there kneeling, and they saw people moving. She saw people moving in the background. Go ahead, Mark.
SpaceX is going to try again to launch and land its Starship rocket this morning. Previous attempts Friday and yesterday scrubbed. This will be the fourth high-altitude test and comes 3 weeks after the last test ended with a successful landing, followed a few minutes later when the ship blew up.
I cannot pay attention to anything you say space-related right now. Somebody sent me a link to a webpage, stuffin.space.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I think is the gets you to the... It shows every single piece of debris in orbit around the planet.
Oh, gee.
With its trajectory and a description, you know, rocket body, piece of debris, former satellite. I don't want to see this. Yeah, I don't want to see any of this. It's horrifying. All right, Mark. Thanks for the update. Davis Allen, time for a quick shot of sports.
Well, the road to the Final Four continues tonight for the men's basketball tournament, also the women's basketball tournament. But for the men's yesterday, Houston held off Oregon State. Oregon State was down by a lot, but managed to come back. Also, Arkansas, they got bounced from the tournament by Baylor. Unfortunately, Baylor's women's team, which also played in the Elite Eight yesterday, could not win their game against UConn, although it was a close one. UConn is moving on to the women's Final Four, so is Arizona, and the teams that will be seeing playing tonight, Gonzaga against USC for the men's, while UCLA takes on Michigan, also for the women's bracket, South Carolina against Texas, Stanford against Louisville. And did you see that in the MLB? They're not requiring their players to be vaccinated, but there are incentives. So basically, if your team has about 85% of their quote-unquote Tier 1 players, I don't exactly know what makes Tier 1, I guess the players who make the roster
starting
and maybe starting along with their staff, if they're fully vaccinated, they can travel with their families, they can also eat out, and they don't have to wear masks while they're on the bench. So some incentives if they decide they are not being forced to. And I'm now going to roll that into your,
hey, Krispy Kreme wants to give you a free donut, that's fine. Required to get in the door? No. MLB, or, you know, going to give you a bonus? Fine. They want to require it? No.
Yeah, exactly. So with that, let's go ahead and get into traffic, because southbound traffic on Garcon appears to be backing up pretty fast. It looks like as you're on the hump is where you're going to be met with these delays. Northbound showing delays as you're leaving Gulf Breeze, but once you go across the hump, it'll check clear on Avalon Boulevard until you get around the Avalon Landing RV Park. I'm starting to see some buildup over there. Also going southbound towards I-10, showing minor delays backed up around Santa Monica Street. I-10, I 110 though flowing smoothly. And I'm Davis Allen with your traffic on the fives.
News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Future news. Davis and I tell you the truth before it's true. All right. COVID cases. Are we preparing for wave four, or are we going to stay relatively flat or maybe a little up but not get that big wave surge?
I think a little up, no surge.
Yeah, I'm there too. A mini surge is the worst that it's going to be. At least I certainly hope so. Vaccine passports. Not in Florida?
Not in Florida.
Not in Florida. Agreed. The mayor said yesterday he's not running for re-election, Pensacola Mayor Grover Robinson. Will he fill out his full term?
He will.
Yeah, I also think that he will. Name me somebody you're sure is going to be running in 2022. Name me one person, not who's going to win, but somebody you're sure is going to be in the race.
I think Morgan. Yeah. David Morgan.
I got Lumen May as my sure bet for running. And I think David Morgan is a maybe. We'll talk about that coming up in a minute. Citizens Police Advisory Committee is having its last meeting today. They're going to submit their report to the city council. Are they going to continue to operate?
In a certain capacity.
Yeah, I think the answer is no here.